We are on our fifth Beatitudes, Blessed Are the Merciful. When I was in Bible college, our principal secretary, her name is Mercy. So if I need to ask favors from her, hi Mercy. Okay, never mind. Oh, dear Mercy. Reminds you of a song, right? Is it by Duffy? I beg, how does it go? Mercy, mercy. Begging you for mercy, mercy. Okay, never mind. I will spare you guys. But we're in the midst of our sermon series called Kingdom Priority. And you know, Cheryl mentioned about the Burning Hearts Conference. This is a conference organized by young people, for young people, to come together and to just reach out to God and bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I think this is an exciting season, even with Youth Alpha happening at Link. And I'm so encouraged that many young people are rising up, taking such great ownership over the church, because you're going to inherit the church, you're going to inherit God's kingdom. And you guys are at the forefront. You guys are pioneering. And we, the oldies, we're going to just run together with you guys, all right? And like I read somewhere, you need the wisdom of the white hair and the strength of the dark hair. So it'll be a power couple when we go into the promised land, when we inherit the kingdom for God. Do you guys agree with me? Yeah, so it's really exciting. So, Mercy. That's my principal secretary's name. But what is mercy to you? Sometimes I ask this question. Is it important to be merciful? Or is it more important to be right? Often it is easier for us to be right. I just want to be right. Or is it easier to be merciful? And recently my nephew came from States. He was staying with us and he was very cute, a bundle of joy and so on. And sometimes I look at the baby, right? He can't do anything, right? He can't even say. He just look at you looking cute and adorable. And you're filled with mercy, filled with compassion for this little living thing. Easy to forgive a child. You can poo anywhere, it's all right. I think Royce, posted a photo of his baby doing something interesting. And I said, right, I think, and Royce is the father, sorry. What am I doing? Ray and Jasmine. Can you wait? They're our first parents of 11:30, in a way. They had a baby recently. Yeah, so you can poo and do anything. You can warm it on you. It's all right, so cute, you know. So you show mercy to a cute living thing. But can you show mercy to someone who is unlovable? So, angst. You're full of angst for this person. So is it important to be right? Or is it important to be merciful? So today we're going to explore that issue as well. What does it mean to be merciful? Blessed are the merciful. And when the series of the Beatitudes basically are values that Jesus wants us Christians to live out, to internalize and to practice. These are the values of the kingdom, God's kingdom. And they're really different from what the values of the world is proclaiming. Sorry, I'm a bit of tongue-tied today. Proclaiming the Beatitudes. You want to be happy? You want to be blessed? Just follow the Beatitudes. Hard to swallow sometimes, but the Beatitudes are reason that God wants us to just live it out. And what does it mean to be? What does it mean to be merciful? How do we show mercy to one another? As I say, easy to show mercy to people you like, but very, very difficult to show mercy to those who have hurt you. This is one of the definitions. It says, to be merciful is to be full of compassion and motivated by concern with the alleviation of suffering. That's the definition. So today, I'm going to just share on two things. Today's a very simple sermon. Receiving mercy and showing mercy. Simple as that. No acronyms for today. I can't. Mercy, just M-E-R, is just too long. We won't end the sermon. And you think of mercy. You think of that beautiful story of the prodigal son. from Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32. Let me read it for you. And may it be, and it's a very well-known story, but may today it will give you fresh perspective on mercy. What does it mean to receive God's mercy and to show mercy? So from Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, Jesus was telling this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. You know when the younger son, tell the father, I want half of the property. Basically, he's cursing his own father. Dad, I can't wait for you to die. Just give me half of my inheritance. Give it now. It's cursing your father. Let's continue. Verse 13, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. Pigs. You know, when Jesus was telling this parable to a Jewish audience, when they heard pigs, oh, non-kosher, is considered dirty animals. It was a shock. This young man, he is the son of a very rich man. He has lowered himself to take care of feed, and he has to feed pigs, the lowest of the low. And verse 16, and he was longing to be fed with the pots that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. He wanted to eat the same food that the pigs were eating. And I like this picture a lot. This is a painting by a French artist. Can you see the anguish, the loneliness, the regret? What have I done? I've cursed my own father, and I'm here, naked, hungry, all alone, when I could have been with my father, all alone, surrounded by dirty pigs. So verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. So it's an attitude of humility, of repentance. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And you know this beautiful story. So he arose and came to his father, but he was still a long way off. His father saw him and felt compassion. He felt mercy and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Let me read that verse again. His father saw him and felt compassion and ran. Not the son running towards the father, but the father running towards the son. He ran, embraced him and kissed him. You know, they did some studies about this. I brought a sarong. You know, in the olden days, people in the Middle East, they wore tunics or ropes. And this is my father's sarong. He likes to wear sarong. You guys know I'm Indonesian, right? Okay. I'm going to wear my sarong. I'm going to try to run. You guys know how to wear sarong? In the olden days, no one lived in kampung these days, but this is how you wear your sarong. Okay. And you just roll it up. Okay, no photos. Okay, and you just imagine running, you know. You will trip. Some Bible scholars, they did a study about this. When the father ran, in this parable, how do you run comfortably in a long tunic? It's very undignified. So when the father saw the son at some distance, he ran. He couldn't, what scholars say is that he girded his loins or rolled up his tunic. So that's what I'm going to do. In practice, it was better. But anyway, you need some rehearsal. Okay, anyway, yeah. Okay, this looks very immodest, but can you just imagine? It looks like a giant diaper, all right? Remember, no photos, Audrey. I have a reputation to... Actually, I have no reputation. Go ahead, just take photo. Okay, so he girded his loins, rolled up his tunic, and started running. Because he was showing his bare feet, bare legs, his hairy legs. In the Middle Eastern culture, to show your legs is considered taboo. And remember, this man was a rich man. He has a certain reputation in the community. But he chose to humble himself, embarrass himself for a wretched prodigal son. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? The extent of God's mercy and love and compassion for that son. Okay. So my point is, the father was so full of mercy. And to continue, and the son said to him, Father, and they embrace. I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. If you are, imagine you are the father. First, the son has wasted half of your money, right? And now the son is coming back to you. What was the first thing that you done? A typical Asian father, what would you say? Where's the money? Where's my money? I told you so. Didn't I tell you so? It was a stupid idea. I told you so. But you didn't listen. See la. Ah, you're right. Typical Asian parents. That's why we never confess our sins to our parents. Because we will be judged. We don't like that. But what did the father do? You know, the hearers, the Jewish as they listen to Jesus' parables, they say, hey, curse the son. But the father did something amazing, totally contradictory. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best rope and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. Wow. Instead of condemnation, of accusing and so on, it's celebration, redemption, forgiveness, mercy. It is mercy, isn't it? Full of compassion. Elevate the state of suffering. And they began to celebrate. Wow. The mercy of our Lord is so amazing. This is a statue by a British artist. His name is Charles McGeese. You might see him on the Alpha video. He was an atheist, but he came to know Jesus, and he started creating beautiful art pieces about God. About especially this is his famous for this sculpture, the prodigal son, the father, the forgiving father, embracing the son. Max Lucado says, mercy gave the prodigal son a second chance. Grace gave him a feast. Last week, Pastor Joshua came and he spoke about embracing grace. Grace and mercy, what are they? What's the difference? Grace is something we don't deserve. We don't deserve the feast. We don't deserve the fattened cow or the robe or the ring or the shoes. But God extended that. He gave restoration to us. And mercy, instead of being judged, condemned, and punished, God embrace us. Let me read to you this quote by a bishop of Alexandria. His name is Saint Anastasia. I hope I got that right. This is what, just listen to his commentary about this parable. When the prodigal son confesses like that, he'll be considered worthy of more than that for which he prayed. His father neither takes him in like a hired servant, nor treats him like a stranger. Oh no, He kisses him, a son. He accepts him as a dead man come back to life again. He counts him worthy of the divine feast and gives him the precious garment he once wore. That's restoration. Now, there is singing and joy in the Father's home. What happened is the result of the Father's grace and loving kindness. Not only does he bring his son back from death, but also through the Spirit, he clearly shows his grace. To replace corruption, he clothes him and with an incorruptible robe. To satisfy hunger, he kills the fattened calf. The Father provides shoes for his feet so that he will not travel far away again. Most wonderful of all, he puts a divine signet ring upon his hand. By all these things, he begets him anew in the image of the glory of Christ. Such a beautiful commentary. He got new shoes, so he doesn't have to travel far anymore. He has returned home. He has come home. As I said earlier, like what Max Lucado said, mercy gave the prodigal son a second chance. Grace gave him a feast. And someone else said, never mind what you have done, just come home. Yesterday was the Pink Dot event. And there was so many debate going on. You see my Facebook feed. I have a lot of Christian friends on my Facebook. So they... But there was one video from a church called 316 Church of a testimony of this gay man, how he surrendered his life to Jesus. It was a really powerful video. You can search for it. Just go to Facebook and search for the 316 Church, and there's a video of his testimony. And this church, 316 Church, has been trying to help people who have same-sex attraction. And they offer mercy and grace to journey together. And I ask this question. Is St. Andrew's Cathedral ready to journey with people who are broken, who have same-sex attraction? How about 11:30? Are we ready to journey with them? Do we need to always be right? Or can we just show mercy? Food for thought. I don't have any easy answers, but I think God will guide us in helping us find that answer. What is it more important, to be right or to be merciful? And I like their slogan for the 316 Church. Their slogan is, come out, come home. There's some studies. In this congregation, not all of us are straight. That's a fact. Even in our church, there'll be gay people. Will you be open enough to come out of the closet, to journey with us, so that we journey with you as well? That's a tough question, isn't it, for all of us? The person sitting on your left and on your right could be a gay person. Do we have to always be right, or can we be merciful? That's a question for all of us as well. So we have received mercy like the prodigal son. Now we need to show mercy. This is a beautiful story in the Old Testament of King David. And let me pronounce that name. Mephibosheth. Maybe let's call him Mephi for short. Okay, King David and Mephi. Who is Mephibosheth? This is from 2 Samuel chapter 9. A story about King David and his friendship with Jonathan. And if you know the story, Jonathan is the son of King Saul. And King Saul tried to kill David, pursue him, persecute him, and so on. But they were still best friends. BFF, sorry. Today I'm a bit tongue twist. BFF, yeah. They're best friends to the very end. So when Jonathan was killed in battle, David, King David, seek out the heir. Look out for the children of Jonathan. Instead of eradicating the lineage of King Saul, King David pursued and found Mephi. And you know what King David did? It was an act of mercy. You know, in most of the kings of that time, they would just try to kill, annihilate every survivors of a competing royal house. Am I correct? Have you watched House of Cards. Games of Thrones, right? The Red Massacre. Okay, never mind. I better not. Anyway, annihilate, kill, destroy, whatever. Find every lineage and just destroy it. But King David, out of his compassion and mercy, found Mephi. And this is what he says when the man came. David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father." And he could have just stopped there, you know. "Okay, I will let you live and so on. You can get back your land which you are entitled to. But this is what King David said, and you shall eat at my table always." Sitting at the table. So it's a reminder, visual reminder of what King Saul has always been doing to him, trying to persecute and kill him. And yet, a visual reminder of his friendship with Jonathan. So it's like frenemy. He's the son of my best friend, but the grandson of my enemy. So it feels a bit awkward. That shows compassion, you know, mercy, and so on. Can we ever do that? If someone hurts you, you want to show mercy, would you invite him for a meal? Normally, if someone has hurt me in the past, I would just avoid, delete contact, block that person and so on, unfriend, you know, the usual stuff. But what is the Christian way? What is God's way? God's way is always for reconciliation, for restoration. And that is the kingdom way. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And another story. Joseph and his brothers. Joseph, if you read in the Old Testament, Joseph was betrayed, sold as a slave. He was in jail. He was terrible. I mean, his own flesh and blood, his own brothers betrayed him. But at the end of the beautiful story of redemption, of restoration, Joseph embraced his brothers and forgave him. That's an amazing story as well. Joseph, in that way, is a bit like Jesus. Jesus embraced us. He loved us. He restored us. We betrayed Jesus on the cross. It's not only the Romans or the Jewish council that crucified Jesus. We were partakers of Jesus' crucifixion. We were all guilty. But because of what Jesus had done, he restores us. He embraced us. He redeemed us, showing mercy. Can we show mercy to those people who have hurt us? There's a picture of this lady. Her name is Gladys Staines. And that's her husband, Graham, and the two sons and daughter. They were missionaries in India. They were in India for many years. But something happened in 1999. While they were traveling, they were attending an event somewhere in the jungle. Just after midnight, Graham was sleeping in his jeep with his two sons, Philip, 10 years old, and Timothy, 6 years old. The windows were broken and gasoline, petroleum, was poured into the jeep and ignited. And the jeep was enveloped in flames. The charred bodies were found embracing each other. Of the wife, Gladys and the daughter was in another town. We were back home. If someone were to have killed your loved ones in such a brutal, violent manner, were you able to show mercy? Crucify him! You would have asked for the extent of the law, isn't it? You'll be filled with hate, bitterness, wrath. But Gladys made a profound, merciful act. She made a statement forgiving the killers. If the killers were captured, they were put on trial. And Gladys forgave them. Wow. I'm trying to imagine myself in her shoes. You lose your spouse. You lost your spouse. You lost your two children. Innocent lives. Can you ever show mercy, forgiveness to the murderers? It is so difficult. But Gladys did it. This is the picture of the charred jeep. What will be your response? Most of us have not gone to that kind of tragedy. Most of us, perhaps our boss says something nasty to us, or maybe our parents, our siblings, our girlfriend, whatever, or people that have hurt us. I pray that we will never have that kind of tragedy in our lives. But Gladys showed grace and mercy. Let me read to you. They interviewed her, and this is what she said. "I feel sad that I do not get to see my sons growing up. Christ has been my companion, but at times I miss the support of my husband. God gives me great support, and the prayers of people has been a source of great consolation. It is Jesus who is the source of every consolation and support. God gives us the strength to be able to carry out our cross and to live in his will. Our life and our work here on earth has to go on according to his holy will. I forgive the other, the murderers, because I have first received forgiveness from Jesus Christ. I have encountered the presence of Jesus in my life. And this is the spirit I share. When we forgive, there is no bitterness. And we live our lives and continue the task entrusted to us with his grace and peace. All Christians who have known the intervention of Jesus in their lives will have this gift to forgive and to be the witness of his peace and presence. Support them with your solidarity and prayers." We all have this gift because we all have received God's mercy. So we can show mercy to others. So friends, I just want to encourage us to show mercy. There's this parable that Jesus taught the people. The parable of the unmerciful servant. Let me read to you. It's from Matthew chapter 18. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his feet and implored him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt." He showed mercy. "But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him and say, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all he had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, this is what Jesus says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." That's a great warning to all of us. If we do not show mercy to those who have hurt us, we need to forgive. We need to even forget. It's hard to forget. But remember that story of the prodigal son. The father restored him. He forgot. He didn't ask about, "Where's my money?" It was really an act of grace and mercy. The Bible also says, "For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. And I pray for all of us that we will be a people of mercy. Even at 11:30, our community, that we will be a merciful community. Pope Francis once said, "If the world had a little bit of mercy, I think the world would be better, isn't it?" We are surrounded by so much evil and violence in this world, so much hatred. And I think the church, we should be the one pioneering it, showing acts of mercy. And it begins with each one of us. It begins at home. You need to forgive someone at home, perhaps your parents, your siblings, your spouse, or even at the workplace. You need to forgive your colleague, your boss, whoever. Someone said, "If you keep resentment and bitterness in your heart, it's like drinking poison and hoping for that person to die." Bitterness and unforgiveness will gnaw at your heart, at your soul. Release it to God. Show mercy. As you receive mercy from God, receive that mercy from Him. Just show mercy to others. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. Just some last words. This is my second last slide. This is what C.S. Lewis said. "We are offered forgiveness on no other terms." You know, God shows mercy to us unconditionally, like the father of the prodigal son. No condition. Extravagant mercy. Likewise, we need to extend that mercy to our fellow human being, to our fellow brothers and sisters. To refuse it, this is a warning, is to refuse God's mercy for ourselves. And the encouragement for all of us is just come home. We talk about mercy. Receiving mercy can be very difficult. Sometimes we feel we are not worthy to receive that mercy from God. We have done so many bad things. Things that we are not proud of. Things that even our closest friends or relatives will be shocked by what you will confess. But God's invitation to all of us is just come home. Just come home and receive God's embrace, God's mercy. Early on at the service, Kenneth prayed of that we will rededicate our lives to God. That we ask for a fresh infilling, fresh anointing. On our own strength, we cannot come home. We'll be struggling. But by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, He will enable you. He'll give you that grace to come home, to be embraced by our Heavenly Father. So shall we rise and sing this song?
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come anxious to pray something that's worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for the song in itself.